taken from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. It's page 1173 in the Blue Bibles. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined, according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the God of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
Some of us will feel excited and enthusiastic about 2017. Perhaps you're planning to get a new job, you're planning to buy a new house, you're planning for a new baby. Maybe you're planning a big holiday, or a big birthday, or a big wedding. Could be that this year you're sitting GCSE or A-level exams, and you're planning for life after school, you're applying for college or university, and you can't wait. Some of us here this morning will feel excited and enthusiastic about 2017, but some of us won't. In fact, some of us will feel the opposite. We'll feel anxious and apprehensive about the year ahead. Christmas has come and gone. January has arrived. It's back to reality. And for some people here, reality is very hard. Perhaps you're struggling with school or work. Maybe you spent 2016 looking for a new job, but application after application was unsuccessful. It could be that your family situation is stressful. You spent 2016 caring for a family member. They're frail, their health is failing. Last year was physically demanding, and you don't expect 2017 to be any different. Maybe you spent 2016 and 2015 trying for a baby, but you haven't been able to conceive, and the last 2 years have been emotionally draining. For other people here, their diaries aren't full of birthdays or holidays or weddings. They will remember anniversaries this year, but not the happy kind, the sad kind. Dates when the people they love have died. You see, the reality is once the festivities have faded, for some people 2017 will be very hard. Maybe you're feeling discouraged and downcast even this morning. Well, this term, we're reading and reflecting on this New Testament letter to the Ephesians. And it all begins with the author introducing himself. So have a look down, open your Bible, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul is an apostle, which means he has been appointed by Jesus Christ. He has been appointed to teach and preach with the authority of Jesus. What Paul writes in the 6 chapters of this letter comes straight from the risen Lord. And Paul doesn't say it here, but he's actually writing this letter from prison. Paul is under house arrest in Rome. We know from the last chapters of the book of Acts that he'll be there for 2 whole years. When Paul looks ahead at the years AD 61 and AD 62, you wouldn't expect him to be feeling excited or enthusiastic. But that's what makes this first chunk of Ephesians so staggering. Paul is in chains. He has no physical blessings to write about. But here in these verses, he explodes with praise to God. Our lives are often shaped by physical blessings. When we're successful or when we're satisfied, we think our lives are on track and we feel that life is going in the right direction. When we're struggling or stressed, when we don't have or we can't get the physical blessings we want, we think that life has gone off track. We feel that life is going in the wrong direction. But here in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, no. If you're a Christian, you can even be in chains with no physical blessings to write about, but with every spiritual blessing to praise God for. For those who feel discouraged or downcast at the beginning of 2017, Paul says, read and reflect on these words. Words that he has been appointed to write. Words that he has authority to write. Words from Jesus Christ himself. You may not have good grades. You may not have good finances. You may not have good health. But if you're a Christian, you do have every spiritual blessing. And that's a reality that can move our hearts to praise God. Even in his greeting, Paul seems excited and enthusiastic. In verse 2, he writes to the churches who will receive this letter, "Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." He's excited and enthusiastic about God's grace, which is the source of every spiritual blessing. Grace is about God's generosity, even to people like us. God gives us what we don't deserve and what we can't earn. Grace is the source of every spiritual blessing. And peace is the summary of our spiritual blessings. Peace is what God has given to people like us. Forgiveness from him and friendship with him. A family of Christian brothers and sisters. Peace with God and peace with each other forever. Because of God's grace, we have peace. And then in verse 3, have a look down, Paul explodes with praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Isn't that word "every" staggering? If you're a Christian here this morning, did you know God withholds nothing from you? He has given you everything. Every spiritual blessing. There's not one Christian here who has more from God, and there's not one Christian here who has less from God. We've all been given every spiritual blessing. And then you get the phrase "in Christ," and that phrase in these verses appears 10 times. And that phrase means these spiritual blessings which we're about to read about can only be found in Christ. Paul repeats this phrase 10 times because he wants us to remember we owe everything to Jesus. Or if you're not a Christian here this morning, did you know God offers you every spiritual blessing? God is generous. He offers you what you don't deserve and what you can't earn if you would believe in Jesus. Imagine somebody in Emerson's Green owned a brand new Aston Martin 177. It's a French sports car with a 7.3-litre V12 engine. It's called the definitive sports car, top speed of 220 miles per hour. There are only 77 Aston Martin 177s made, and each one costs almost £2 million. There would be a difference, though, wouldn't there, between just seeing and hearing this car driving around Emerson's Green and actually experiencing it and enjoying it for yourself. If you didn't know the person who owned that Aston Martin, you'd never ever sit in it, and you'd never ever race it along the motorway. The only way to experience and enjoy that car would be if you were friends with the person who owned it. Paul says, it's the same with every spiritual blessing. You can be here this morning and you can read about them in Ephesians chapter 1. But the only way to experience and enjoy them is to know Jesus Christ. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have been given friendship with him. And he is a friend who shares everything with you. So what we're going to do now is read through this chunk of Ephesians, and we'll reflect on three spiritual blessings, each of which is far more exciting than any sports car. These three spiritual blessings can move our hearts to praise, no matter how we're feeling this morning or at the start of 2017. So here's spiritual blessing number one. Paul says, we are chosen by God the Father. We are chosen by God the Father, verses 4 to 6. Long before we chose to believe in Jesus, God the Father chose us. Have another look at your Bible. Paul says, praise be to God. And then verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace. If you're a Christian here this morning, did you know there has never been a time when God didn't love you? Paul says, in love he predestined us. And for as long as God has existed, from before the creation of the world, he has loved you. Not because we deserve his love, we don't. Not because we can earn his love, we can't. But Paul says, God's grace is glorious. God loves us not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And this truth, being chosen by God, is humbling. It doesn't make us arrogant. We don't stand here saying, yes, we're the chosen ones. No. Being chosen by God before the creation of the world reminds us that we're no more deserving than anybody else. Charles Spurgeon, a 19th century preacher, said it like this. I believe the doctrine of election, which is the theological name for being predestined or chosen. He says, I believe the doctrine of election because I'm quite sure that if God had not chosen me, I should never have chosen him. And I am sure he chose me before I was born, or else he would never have chosen me afterwards. And he must have elected me for reasons unknown to me, for I never could find any reason in myself why he should have looked upon me with such special love. Now, some people do disagree with the doctrine of election. Many of us will find it a difficult doctrine to understand, and that's okay. We have understandable questions like, doesn't election undermine evangelism? If God saves his elect, why do we need to bother telling people about Jesus? Or doesn't election undermine godliness? If God saves his elect, why do we need to bother trying to live like Jesus? And it seems that Paul in these verses anticipates those sort of questions. And he tries to gently respond. So he says, being chosen by God doesn't undermine evangelism. Actually, it underpins evangelism. Have a look at verse 13. You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. It's when the elect hear about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that God calls them to himself. When we speak about Jesus, God uses us to save those that he's chosen. In fact, if God hadn't elected anyone, there'd be no point in us talking about Jesus. Paul will describe us in chapter 2, by nature, as spiritually dead. And it's only because God has chosen people that we can tell people with every confidence that to the elect he will give spiritual life. Or this doctrine of election doesn't decrease the value of godliness. It actually increases the value of godliness. Did you notice in verse 4 that Paul writes, he chose us in him to be holy and blameless in his sight. And when we read what we've been chosen for, We will want to live lives that are more and more like Jesus. Have a look at verse 5. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. In the great torrent of love that God has poured out on people like us, he hasn't predestined us to be his servants, but to be his sons. He's adopted us into his own family. We experience and we enjoy the love of a heavenly Father. He provides for us, he pardons us, he protects us. And we can pray to him, and he listens. Our Heavenly Father is never sleepy or forgetful. He's never grumpy or disinterested. He's never powerless to help or unsure what to do. In Christ, we have been brought into the family of God, and we can whisper into the ear of our Heavenly Father. So yes, we may struggle to get our minds around this, but we need to remember Paul is writing this not to confuse us, but to comfort us. He says, being chosen by God the Father is a spiritual blessing. When it comes to your salvation, God started it. And when it comes to your salvation, God will finish it. No matter how disheartened you are this morning, hear this. God is more committed to your salvation than you are. God is more committed to saving you than you can imagine. We've been chosen by God the Father before the creation of the world. When we arrive in heaven one day, God will welcome us. I imagine God saying this to each and every one of his children. So good to see you. I have loved you for a very, very long time. If you're a Christian, you've been chosen by God the Father. Here's the second spiritual blessing. If you're a Christian, you have been redeemed by God the Son. We are redeemed by God the Son, verses 7 to 10. The story is told of a young boy who built a boat. He carved the hull, the bow and the stern, all out of wood. He then made a mast and a beam and attached a small sail. He carefully painted his boat in a bright red colour. And on the day he finally finished making his boat, he took it out to a nearby lake to try it, to set it on sail. The paint had hardly stopped drying before a strong wind blew and his little toy boat was blown away. This young boy was gutted. His pride and joy had been lost. He'd invested so much in this boat. A number of days later, he was walking through town and he stopped to look in a toy shop, and there it was. To his shock, his little red boat was there in the window. He rushed inside to tell the shopkeeper that it was his boat. He'd made it. The shopkeeper didn't believe him. So the young boy rushed out again, and he rushed home, and he smashed his piggy bank and scooped up all the money inside, and he rushed back to the shop. And there and then he paid the shopkeeper the full price for the boat that he had made. He left the shop with the boat tucked under his arm. And this is what he was heard to say. He said this to his boat. You are twice mine. I made you and I bought you back. And that short little story illustrates the Bible word redemption. If you're a Christian, you belong to God two times over. Not only did God create you, but he bought you back. We have been redeemed. Jesus is our redeemer. That's what Paul praises God for in verse 7. Have a look at verse 7. Praise be to God. In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. You see, the price to buy somebody like me and somebody like you back is infinite. No amount of money could pay for our rebellion. No amount of silver or gold could pay for the ways that we've all ignored and rejected God. But the priceless, precious blood of Jesus pays the price. It was his blood that paid for our sin. Every sinful thought or word or deed, past and present and future, you believe in Jesus, the price has been paid in full. Again, the reason he bought us back isn't because of what we're like, but it's because of what he is like. The Father sent the Son because God is rich in grace. His grace isn't something he stores away or saves up. His grace is something he spends. And he spends it on people like us. And he spends it lavishly and liberally. Jesus Christ paid for our forgiveness in full at the cross. And it was his pleasure to do so. If you're a Christian here this morning, you don't need to fear God. And you don't need to feel guilty. Whatever you've done, you have been redeemed. And we have been redeemed for a purpose. Have a look at chapter 1, verse 9. God made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. That last verse, chapter 1, verse 10, is a key verse in Ephesians. It captures the central message of the letter. God has an eternal plan, and it's to unite all things under Christ. And one day this eternal plan will be complete. The foundations have been laid. Jesus has died and Jesus has been raised. And now in the present, the work is ongoing. Men and women are being redeemed. And one day all believers will stand in the new creation, united under Christ, the one who will rule and reign forever. Maybe you feel discouraged and downcast this morning. Perhaps you're struggling and you're stressed. Reflect on Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. If you're a Christian, whatever you face this coming year, everything is under God's control. He has an eternal plan. One day, when the times reach their fulfillment, all of God's children will join together, united under Christ, living in peace. Peace with God and peace with each other. We have been redeemed by the Son. And that brings us to the third spiritual blessing. The reason we can be confident about this future is because all Christians have been sealed by the Spirit. We are sealed by God the Spirit. Verses 11 to 14. If verse 10 captures the central message of Ephesians, that God has this eternal plan to unite all things under Christ, the next few verses begin to explain what that means. And the first thing Paul says is that both Jews and Gentiles, Gentiles means non-Jews, they are all included in the plan if they trust in Jesus. Have a look at verse 11. In him we were also chosen. Paul's referring to the Jews here. Having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. In order that we is referring to the Jews, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And now in verse 13 he refers to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. God's eternal plan is to choose and redeem all sorts of people from all sorts of places, including people like us. And there's no hierarchy in God's family. It's not that some people are more special or more significant than others. We all have every spiritual blessing. And Paul's clear about that in verse 13. He says to the Gentiles, when you believed, whoever you are, wherever you're from, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. You see, the moment somebody becomes a Christian, God, the Holy Spirit, comes to live in them. And in these verses, Paul describes the Holy Spirit as a seal. The Holy Spirit is like a mark of ownership. If you're a Christian, you belong to God. He will protect you. He will pardon you. He will provide for you. And he'll do that permanently. The Holy Spirit is the birthmark of all God's children. It's as though we've been marked with a spiritual ultraviolet marker pen, and it can only be seen in the heavenly realms. But God sees it. His children have been sealed. Paul also describes the Holy Spirit here as a deposit. He is the first installment of eternal life. He guarantees that one day full payment will be made. One day Christians will inherit the kingdom of heaven. God the Holy Spirit is like the starter, and the main course is still to come. And remembering these two words, seal and deposit, makes a big difference. It means that in the here and now we can enjoy a relationship with God. God himself lives in us. But it also means that our experience of God isn't complete. The Holy Spirit is a foretaste. The full feast is still to come. So feeling discouraged or downcast isn't unusual. It's a normal part of living in the here and now. But Paul still says you can be in chains with no physical blessings in the here and now, but your heart can praise God. You have been sealed and you belong to God. The Holy Spirit is with you and he will never leave. In fact, Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Comforter. And so as we wait for God to unite all things under Christ, the Holy Spirit is here to soothe and comfort and reassure us. Perhaps you're feeling discouraged or downcast. And the reason for that is because you're doubting. You doubt that you're a Christian. Maybe you look back on 2016 and you see all the failures, all the ways that you stumbled and strayed into sin. You don't really expect 2017 to be any different. Could be that you're sat here this morning asking yourself, how can I be a Christian when I did that and that and that again and again and again? That's why these verses are here. They're here to reassure us. No matter what you've done, if you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have been chosen by the Father. You have been redeemed by the Son. You have been sealed by the Spirit. You see, Paul wants Christians to know you are safe and secure. Nothing or nobody can snatch you out of God's hands. He is more committed to your salvation than you are. God is more committed to saving you than you are. It's his eternal plan to include somebody like me and somebody like you in his plan of salvation. But as we finish, two more phrases in this passage for us to appreciate. And each of these phrases is repeated three or four times. The first phrase comes in verse 1, and verse 5, and verse 9, and verse 11. And each of these verses refers to the will of God. Paul wants us to praise God this morning because God is accomplishing his eternal plan. The history of the world isn't random. We are not accidents. Our lives are not pointless. Everything is working out according to God's will. When we're struggling and when we're stressed, we can lean on God and we don't need to be anxious or apprehensive. The world is like a complex tapestry. The side of life that we experience often seems to be like a tangle of knots. But from God's side, everything is working out perfectly and beautifully, just as he has planned. Everything is working out according to God's will. And then the second phrase comes at the very end of the passage, verse 14. It's all to the praise of his glory. That phrase comes also in verse 3 and verse 6 and verse 12. The spiritual blessings that we've talked about this morning are meant to move our hearts to praise God. It's to the praise of his glory. No matter what we face today, or what we face in the coming weeks and months, we can read Ephesians chapter 1 and reflect on how much we've been blessed in Christ. No matter what we face in 2017, we can echo the words that Paul writes in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing.